Hello, everyone. I'm Joel Yu. Thanks so much for tuning in to Expert Insights, where we talk with industry leaders across modern financial services to discuss leadership and innovation. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Joel Yu here with another episode of Expert Insights. Today, I am joined by President of the Mortgage Division at Evolve Bank and Trust, Mr. Lance Lemoine. Welcome to Expert Insights. Thanks for joining the podcast, Lance.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you having me.
Mr. Lemoine has more than 30 years experience and expertise in mortgage banking, capital markets, marketing, consumer lending. You were with Fleet National Bank, Fleet Mortgage for 15 years. You also had a pretty lengthy career at Wells Fargo and USAA. So you've been at some really well-known big organizations. And you were also the CEO of Ameripro Home Loans prior to it being purchased by Guild. So I'm assuming I have all that right, Lance, and would love to get any additional context about kind of your path to success that's led you to where you're at.
Well, thanks, Joe. Yeah, it's been a little bit more than 30 years, pushing 38 years. I know I don't look that old.
Yeah, but, you don't at all.
That's your makeup crew that helped me out there.
There we go.
Yeah, I feel like I've had a great career in the sense that, you know, worked for some big banks, worked for big mortgage companies. I spent some time with Countrywide. I spent some time at some other smaller banks as well. You know, some mortgage banking, independent mortgage bankers, banks. And it's been a fun ride, interesting business we're in.
So Lance, give us a little bit of an overview of Evolve Bank and Trust, the organization, a little bit of the story, any context you can provide about the bank.
Yeah, happy to do that. So, you know, I would say we're a mid-sized bank, small bank, you know, over $1 billion in assets, been around for a long time. You know, pushing 90 years old. You know, as a modern bank, I would say over the last 20 years, we've really become a consortium of national businesses. So we've got a very large open banking platform that's very substantial in the marketplace. We've got Physicians Capital Group, Litigation Trust. We've got a nationwide small business lending arm. We've got just a few branches in Arkansas and Tennessee. So we're not really what you would think of as your typical bank. We're a consortium of national businesses. And that makes us very entrepreneurial, you know, as a group, as a leadership group.
So you guys are thinking about how to serve all of those different businesses with the technology offerings that you guys are working on is thought about in relation to all of those different businesses, the way it sounds.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I want to get into a little bit about your story and some of your secrets to success. I've consistently heard about your leadership, the quality of how you run the business, how you build culture. So I want to talk about a few of those things. But I think just to kind of set the tone a little bit, as you look at where we are in the cycle, in this cycle, we talked a little bit before we went on the air that, you know, look, the markets are in a little bit of flux here. And however, right, the long-term impact or the long-term benefit of owning a home in America is still going to be really important, right? I know we agree on that. How are you guys thinking about serving the customer today in terms of the market cycle we're in with rates all over the place? Does it change your approach at all? Just give me a little bit of context on that before we get into some of the deeper items.
Yeah, good question. You know, and I think the word that you use there that is, you know, so central to how we operate is service. You know, you talked about leadership as well. And I think I have really benefited by being able to surround myself with good leadership. So at Evolve, I would tell you that we are hyper-focused on service levels. And when you say service levels in our business, you know, typically that means you make your closings on time, which we do 99 to 99.5% of the time. This past month, 100% of contracts were closed on time. But I think more importantly, it's about individuals serving one another and having that strong team spirit, team approach. You know, it's a difficult market out there. We've got some really great salespeople on our team, great referral partners, and everyone is relying on us to close on time, serve one another on time. So every division, every department, a lot of it has to do with communications. Matt Knieven, who runs our operations, sends out a daily email, details everything that's going on throughout our entire pipeline. So we're completely transparent and confident in what we do and focused in on it.
So I want to talk about initially, you guys have, from what I hear, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys have one of the highest retention rates of your sales team, of any of the lenders or banks that I frequently talk to. That's been an area of struggle for a lot of organizations. And you guys typically come in as somebody that does a great job at that. Can you share with the audience your thoughts on that? How have you managed to leverage the, create a culture that people want to continue to be a part of in this environment? And have you noticed any challenges with retaining people as the market has changed?
You know, there's always challenges retaining people, but if you can provide great products, great service, great support, great communications, friendships, partnerships along the way, I think that's really what, you know, we all need to focus in on. You know, so we have a lot of reward and recognition programs and president's clubs and, you know, various daily, monthly, you know, announcements to try to create that sense of belonging and support. But I think it just comes down to being resolute in that, you know, hyper focus on service levels. You know, if our team,
and when you say service level to your people as well as to the customer, is that accurate?
Exactly.
Okay. I think this is really an important distinction, and we spend a lot of time working and talking with partners, organizations, both customers and tech partners that we have, and talking about everybody is talking so deeply all the time about serving the customer, right, and creating experience and outcomes for that customer. But something that I'm just catching from you that I want to maybe see if is fair or not, and I'll make my own assumption here. The way you guys intensely focus on serving your people, I'm guessing directly plays into the reason you've been able to retain. You treat your people as that's part of the role of leadership, is to serve those people. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and I'm glad you made that delineation, because I was just kind of, you know, espouting, you know, the whole service thing. But no, you're absolutely right. So whether it's our capital markets or secondary team, lock desk, underwriting, closing, disclosure, I mean, you name it, anything that goes into, you know, the daily workings for our teams that are out there working with our referral partners, you know, we're hyper-focused on ensuring that they get what it is they need. I think some of what drives that for us, Joe, is I was a top originator as a young man a long time ago. Same with our head of ops, same with our national production leader and many of our other leaders. So we kind of understand what's going on in the transaction, and being so purchase focused, 95% of our business is purchase. You know, that's, you know, realtors, buy side, sell side. It's, you know, it's families that are moving in, moving out, all that anxiety that goes with that. So, you know, having that service level approach 360, I think really, really helps.
So you're always looking through the lens of somebody that is an insider, somebody that has walked in the shoes of the person that's originating. Mm-hmm. And that makes total sense. In terms of, I see a lot of leaders that talk about serving their people and having good intent. Okay, I think they have good intent, a lot of people. But when it comes down to doing that over time and the execution of that, I see a lot of organizations struggle with it. Do you have any best practices that you guys have in place to kind of measure how you're doing, assuming your goal is continuously to have deep level of service to your people and your customers. How are you measuring those things, or are you just staying involved so deeply you just know?
Well, we do a lot of things. We survey our employees. We survey our borrowers. We try to survey our realtor partners. So there's a lot of internal, external surveying that goes on. We track and report, as I said, daily on how we're doing various measures, whether it's underwriting turn times, days to close, things of that nature.
So you're very data driven in when you're thinking about service, you're data driven in the analysis of that and the tracking and the benchmarking. And that's, from what I'm hearing, that's really how you keep focused on progress and where you're at is using data, right? Makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think something else that's important to mention here that we are kind of fortunate to have is a bank ownership and a board that are very familiar with mortgage lending. And we've been in the mortgage business for over 20 years. So they're very committed and very interested in our business. You know, whereas at some other companies, you know, that can sway depending on which way the markets are swaying.
Yeah, no question. We talk a lot about what it means to be a modern bank, what it means to be a modern lender, and how things evolve. It sounds like you guys, based on the additional businesses you guys are involved with, you're already pretty far down the evolution of kind of changing the status quo from being a traditional brick and mortar bank to something different and something bigger. How would you articulate the vision for the bank over the next 3, 5, 10 years?
Well, I think our bank prides itself on being very closely aligned with many, many fintech industries. So our open banking platform, I think we've got 950 or 1,000 fintech partners that we provide payment solutions to and other products to. You know, the mortgage lending, I think we want to get better, faster, cleaner, more perfect. Mortgage banking requires a perfect execution on the mortgage on the front end if you want to sell it on the back end. And a lot, you know, that's going to require some investments in technology, which we've been doing for, you know, several years now. And we have several projects underway right now with improving our front end mobile app, with improving our CRM and sales solutions and customer information so that we can help manage that journey or maybe react to the needs of that customer journey, not necessarily manage their journey for them, and improving our front end loan origination system. We're undergoing all of those things right now with the hope that they will all kick off here in the next 30 to 45 days.
That makes sense. So you guys are leaning in and really investing in the organization, investing in tech broadly, and continuing to make progress. It sounds like in a variety of different places, all of which sounds like impact not just your end customer and better outcomes, but also the things that I'm hearing from you guys and what I know about you is you're also investing in technology, realizing the way your people work and serve the end customers is changing also. Is that fair to say?
Oh, that's very fair to say. I would say, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. And, you know, and I don't want to say it's the hope that one then helps deliver a better service to the end customer. I think we all know that it will. And it's just a matter of, again, investing and making sure that those projects go online on appropriate time.
Yeah. So I have maybe a somewhat tough question for you, and you don't certainly have to answer if you don't want to. But you know, the banks and some of your maybe competitors, maybe not competitors, but let's just say, you know, an average bank that is maybe more focused on being kind of traditional, that's not as comfortable making changes, that's not as comfortable kind of pushing the needle to modernize, to invest in tech. You know, what advice would you give or thoughts would you give to those types of organizations that are maybe saying, you know, we're not going to continue to to modernize and not going to continue to make these big investments. We're going to stick to what we know. What would you say to those organizations?
You know, a good question, good, tough question. You know, it's hard to say anything to the organizations themselves. What I would say to the leaders in particular divisions or business units or whatever is to have the courage or to be resolute to break down the bureaucracy. If you're going to stay alive, if you're going to stay relevant, if you're going to be competitive, you have to demand. And I think that's where the challenge is, Joe. I don't have that bureaucracy. I've got a tremendous board and executive leadership team at the bank. And you know, we make sound, rational business decisions. I think that's why some of our locations and branches have been with us 10, 12, 14 years. That really benefits us. And that's where I think some of the larger banks in particular, or any bank that's fraught with a little bit of bureaucracy. And, you know, I think if you get more than 12 people, you could end up with bureaucracy, never mind.
Totally.
So,
yeah, no, that's really well said. I see that in organizations, both large and small, that can be overly bureaucratic. And what happens from our perspective, and it sounds like this is one of the reasons you're successful, is you guys don't have this, you know, analysis paralysis. You make data-driven decisions. You're able to make them efficiently and quickly, and you're able to make progress, even if it's not perfect, you're able to make progress pretty rapidly. And if you think about that in comparison to a lot of organization, it really doesn't, I don't think size necessarily is the deciding factor, but if you compare that to a lot of organizations that are maybe stuck in the mud a little bit and feel like they're a slow moving ship versus something that's more nimble, it tends to be they just get overly bogged down in decision-making process, and people that are willing, you said a word I love, have the courage to be committed to having a growth mindset and moving the needle forward, positioning the organization for the future. Lance, you've had a very successful career. You've been in the industry a long time. You've seen a lot of cycles. As you look at this cycle, we're certainly in a, as broadly speaking, lending is in a contraction cycle in terms of less transaction volumes. As you look at rates where they're at, home prices where they're at, over the next year to 2 years, what does your crystal ball see? What do you see happening with the markets, transaction volumes, home ownership?
Yeah, we're in an interesting environment, right? You know, one thing that I don't have is any fear with what's coming, because there are lots of good signs. We've got a burgeoning economy. I think the underwriting of credit has been very, very sound. You know, this certain cycle that we see with rising values of homes and such demand, you know, I don't see that we necessarily have a bubble. That's my opinion. You know, what I do see is going back to blocking and tackling. I see our teams having events and meeting with referral partners they hadn't met with in the last couple of years for a particular reason. And, you know, hopefully that's behind us and that can continue. You know, we ourselves came out with some portfolio products, some 5, 7, 10-year ARMs, you know, to respond to interest rates starting to approach 6%. You know, we've tempered back to 4.75, 5, 5.125. You know, we're seeing some continuity there. Rates have been there for 30 to 40 days, 45 days. So the market's starting to accept that. And we're seeing, you know, more margin coming back in that product, and we're seeing a lot of homes go on the market, and we're seeing good activity on the purchase side.
So bottom line, you're incredibly bullish long term, right? And incredibly bullish that home ownership is going to continue to be important, and markets are going to balance themselves out. Is that, if I read that correctly?
Absolutely. And it's just about, you know, maintaining your particular share in your particular market.
Yeah. Well, Lance, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you taking the time to share some of your expertise and insights and the great work you guys are doing at Evolve Bank and Trust. We're huge fans of the organization, the brand, and the work you guys are doing. So thanks, everyone, for joining us today. We'll see you next time for another episode of Expert Insights.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.